Thank you very much, and good morning, everybody. Yes, welcome to the GFT first half year 2022 numbers. My name is Jochen Ruetz. I'll guide you through the presentation today. I hope the presentation is available to you. We are sharing it. It is on our website, so there should be many ways you can get it. Looking at the presentation today anyway is quite a busy day, as I know, so let's jump right into and go to slide number two. What are we gonna look at today? Well, the highlights of the first half year, then we're gonna look at the figures, and in the end, at the outlook. Let's start with slide number two. Yes, we have seen dynamic growth in the first half of 2022. On the back of that, we have slightly increased our outlook for revenue and earnings again for the full year of 2022. The strong demand for digitization is ongoing, right, across all our sectors. We've seen market influencers recognize GFT as a leader, and I have a slide coming up for that. We have now participated in Great Place to Work on more than 10,000 talents. We have another slide for that. We have continued our active price and cost management, which we can see by our increase in EBT margin. Again, as I stated, we already upped our guidance again. Revenue is now expected at 730 million euros, EBITDA at 81 million euros, and EBT at 60 million euros. I'll skip the numbers on the right side because they're gonna come up in the presentation again. Let's move to slide number four, the first highlight chart. Market influencers recognize GFT as a leader. The two rating companies, ISG and Quadrant Knowledge Solutions, have included us with very strong valuations in their Magic Quadrants. On the ISG side, it was GFT is a leader in data analytics and machine learning in the Google Cloud ecosystem. Well, could have been other clouds as well, but this is where we participated heavily. The praise for GFT was that we have a strong industry traction and expertise in exactly this sector. Our extensive and attractive product and service portfolio was convincing. We have extensive expertise, and we have a strong market presence in the U.S. and in Europe. ISG put us on the chart, and I think we reported on this already a couple of weeks ago. On the right side, brand new Quadrant Knowledge Solutions, they rated us very high in the leader for digital banking services section. Here we have strong ratings across all parameters of this KPI, especially our Bank Lite solution is a unified solution for developing cloud-based digital banks and something we have been utilizing whenever I speak about our Asian digital banks locally in Asia a lot. Bank Lite is heavily linked to Asia, and we're moving it to other markets as well. We're enabling rapid development and deployment of cloud-based digital banking entities, and we're reducing the time to market for those banks. If you want to learn more about these two proof points, please have a look at our website. Both press releases are there, so you can read deeper into it, including the wonderful Magic Quadrants that are included. In the last years, GFT has heavily invested in its technology competence, and now we are more and more cooperating with rating agencies. Please be prepared to see us more present in the world of Magic Quadrants in future. Coming to slide number five, another highlight chart. On the right side, we have been more than 10,000 talents at the end of June of 2022. One of the 10 challenges we have set ourselves, 10,000 people, 10 million in revenues. Well, that's 1 billion, right? In the end, we want to achieve 10% EBT margin, but that's probably the last to come. The first is 10,000 tech lovers, and we reached that goal at the end of June. On the left side of the slide, we see that we have participated in a group-wide employee survey, and for the first time, we have collaborated with Great Place to Work with all GFT entities at the same time. We're quite happy to see all GFT countries worldwide, or let's say the countries with more than 10 employees, achieve the Great Place to Work certification. In the coming weeks, we will, as you always do with employee surveys, further improve our working environment based on the results. But just one KPI I want to mention here that we are very pleased about, 87% of the participants would recommend GFT to family and friends. 87%, a very high, a top score within the global IT industry. First time Great Place to Work and quite successful results so far. Let's move forward. Slide number six, the agenda slide, which leads us directly to slide number seven, the key figures. As mentioned, revenue is up 37% year-over-year for the first half of 2022, reaching 357 million. Our order backlog is up 65%. That's a similar growth to what we have seen in Q1. The order backlog is a bit lower than in Q1 or at the 30th of March because, as always, like last year already explained, throughout the year, the maintenance projects for the full calendar year, they are coming, they are reducing in order backlog. And that is why the number throughout the quarters will always reduce and it will always be highest in Q1. But we're very happy with the order backlog that we see today. The EBITDA adjusted and the EBITDA are identical in 2022 because there are no M&A effects before the EBITDA line. Usually we have earnouts, but currently there's none, and therefore the two numbers are identical. So last year there was still a gap because we had an earnout for the company we acquired 4 years ago in Canada. And the EBITDA was strong. Utilization was at normal levels. Restructuring measures, as you see on the right side in the smaller bullet points, stood at 1.4 million euros. And we had a positive FX effect, something that didn't happen over the last years very often. Overall, EBITDA adjusted grew by 36%. Going down to EBIT and EBT, we see disproportional growth, especially on the EBT level, of 75%, very strong growth. I'll come back to that a bit later. We see the margin jump to 8.2% after 6.4% last year, and the tax rate stood at 29%. Moving forward, slide number 8, we look at the diversification. On the left side of the slide, we see our client groups on a yearly basis, and we categorize them where they stood at the end of each first half year, 2021-22. On the very left, bigger than 50 million is only one client, it's Deutsche Bank. And the share of this biggest client has, as you can see, heavily reduced over the last years. It's now 13% of our total revenue. The next clients in the group, more than 10 million, are 18 clients in total, and they now stand for 45% of our total revenue share. And then we see the distribution on the right side of it, which is more or less stable versus Q1. Overall, we see a good distribution of our client portfolio. On the right side of the slide, we can see that the sector growth was similar to Q1, insurance industry and other clients growing fastest, but biggest group banking also showing strong momentum at 32% growth rate. Let's move forward to slide number 9, revenue and EBITDA adjusted by quarter. When we compare quarter over quarter Q2 to Q1 of 22, we see a growth of 6% on the revenue side and an increase in EBITDA adjusted by 13%. When we compare year over year, second quarter, we see a revenue growth of 34% and an EBITDA adjusted growth of 35%. Let's move forward, slide number 10. Here we look at the revenues by segment. As always, let's start with the Americas, UK and APAC segment, which is today the strongest segment. In 21, the gap to the continental European business was not that big yet, but it's getting bigger right now because Americas, UK and APAC are growing heavily. Overall, 62%. Of that growth of 62%, which is mainly triggered in Brazil by digital initiatives, but also in the US, in the UK and Canada from our insurance clients, we see that 48% are organic and 14% come from FX tailwinds, FX effects. We have seen in 2022 so far a weakening euro, and all these currencies, Brazil, Canada, US, UK, and partially Asia, they are improving versus the euro. And therefore, when we recalculate the revenues into euros, we see stronger growth rates. Therefore, roughly 19 million or 14% are represented by FX effects. One of the reasons why we're upping our guidance on the revenue side, that we see the weaker euro continue throughout the year. Looking at continental Europe, we see stable growth driven by banking business in Germany and Switzerland, overall 9%. And then on a group level, the revenue FX tailwind, which is probably the number to really look at, represents 7% of the total growth coming mainly from FX. Let's go to the next slide. Slide number 11, earnings by segment. Again, the same look and feel, Americas, UK, APEC first. And I will focus on EBT today because we have the FX tailwind number calculated for EBT. We see sustained demand for profitable digitization solutions in Americas, UK, and APEC, and have seen economies of scale, which has improved the margins, despite ongoing strong investments in business development, which we are doing in this market as well, which is, of course, to represent the growth of tomorrow. Therefore, we continue investing. When we look at the right side, we see a 96 improvement of the EBT. However, 2 million euros or 22 points of the 96% are linked to FX tailwinds, particularly in our Brazilian market, as the real was surprisingly quite strong versus the euro throughout the whole first year. Looking at continental Europe, likewise, so we also see improved margins as a result of high demand for digitization projects and good and enhanced operational efficiency. Here, the EBT is up 23%. And when we look at the group level, we're up 75%, a number given already on the slides before. Now, the FX tailwind, again, is 2 million euros or 12 percentage points of the 75% EBT increase are linked to the weak euro. And this is also the main reason why we have upped our guidance on the profitability side. We do see the euro weakness go throughout the year 2022. So let's move forward. Slide number 12, revenue by markets. We have seen six markets with revenue growth of more than 30%. Growth rates in Brazil, UK, Canada, US, and Switzerland are very strong. However, they are a bit lower in local currencies, while here we show the euro numbers. We are quite content with our worldwide revenue distribution today. Whatever the much discussed upcoming year 2023 will bring, our broad global footprint will help us find and leverage growth opportunities in all three time zones. And this brings me to slide number 13, which is the P&L statement. We have seen the significant earning improvements. We already discussed revenue increase going down the list. Other operating income somewhat higher because of better FX exchange gains and especially higher government grants, which is linked to the overall business growth. We see the cost of purchased services, which in the case of GFT is always services and freelancers purchased. We're up 55%. At the same time, personnel expenses up 30%. These two numbers are clearly linked because that's our cost to deliver our revenue. And when we, and this is now the fourth bullet point on the right, combine cost of freelancers and personnel expenses and compare it to revenue, we have improved that ratio to 81%, while last year it was 82%. The next cost item, other operating expenses, increased by 59%, while the next one, depreciation and amortization, reduced by 1%, despite a strong revenue growth. And let me highlight this for a second. While we see stable or reducing depreciation and amortization, or in other words, economies of scale in that cost line, while on the higher other operating expenses, we see an increase in cost. We are seeing a move from depreciation and amortization to other operating expenses, and the biggest reason being rent. Rent today is depreciation via IFRS 16. We are not renting more offices these days, and therefore efficiencies on office rent is increasing, which we will always see in the depreciation line. At the same time, work from home, our people being in their home office, it doesn't fully come for free, right? We're in some countries, we're giving cash support, we're giving meal vouchers, and sometimes we're also adding hardware to their local home office, a monitor, a keyboard, etc. All these costs, which are linked to home office, they are happening in the other operating expenses line or in the personnel expenses. So depreciation is benefiting from less office space utilized, especially while growing. And the other costs, other operating expenses, are increasing because of home office usage. And there's a similar but a weaker trend for expensive hardware, because we're not buying any expensive hardware or servers anymore, and we're using cloud space. While servers used to be depreciated in the depreciation line, Cloud consumption happens in other operating expenses. Same for software licenses. They used to be depreciated, acquired, then depreciated. Today, they are SaaS, software as a service licenses. They are running monthly, and they are happening in the other operating expenses line. In other words, the EBITDA is getting more cost, while the depreciation and amortization line is being softer over the years to come. And therefore, we will more and more focus on the EBIT and EBT KPI when we look at our profitability. Well, that was a long explanation for the P&L slide. Nothing more to mention, just one interest income is positive because the cash in Brazil is coming at a 10% interest rate locally. So currently, we're slightly positive on interest rates. And as I already mentioned, tax rate is 29% after 6 months. And that's where we expect it to be after 12 months as well. Let's move forward. Slide number 14, the cash flow analysis. So our finance structure remains highly solid. The unused credit facilities of nearly 40 million euros. Our net cash is slightly negative at the end of June with minus 12.89 million euros. Let me focus on the operating cash flow. The operating cash flow is our challenge in 2022. And we see clients going back to 2019 payment behavior, so pre-COVID payment behavior. Payments coming in late, clients pushing payments in all kind of ways. And clients negotiating payment terms is what is happening again. So the return of zero or positive interest rates changes behavior, especially in our banking and insurance clients. While before the this change and with the negative interest rates, they were paying providers rather than giving the money to the central banks and having to pay for it. So we had a very positive effect on our working capital. Now we're back to pre-COVID. And they are looking at paying, well, as late as possible. Let's put it like this. From where we stand today, we will see this back to normal process regarding payment behaviors continue throughout 2022. Our working capital will, of course, reduce again heavily in the last quarter, as every year. But overall, we will see an increase in working capital also at the year end. In other words, for operating cash flow, 2022 will be the back to normal year after COVID. 2023 should then again be straightforward. And all other cash flow effects in H1 are small and business as usual. And that's why I would go to slide number 15 now. Looking at the balance sheet, not much to mention here, we do see a slight increase in balance sheet total, mostly in line with higher contract assets from projects and higher receivables. So our overall growing business leads to an increasing receivables and contract asset number and a higher overall balance sheet. Nevertheless, equity ratio increased. It's now 37% of the total balance sheet. That's it for this slide. I would now go to slide number 16, which is the people slide. Let's go the bullet points down one by one. The global headcount of the GFT team surpasses the 10,000 mark, as I mentioned before. Now, this is calculated in headcount, and it includes all freelancers. When we look at the IFRS-related FTE numbers, which you see in the graph on the left side, we had 8,451 full-time equivalents at the end of June, which is a growth of 24% compared to previous year, especially strong in Brazil, linked to the local growth. Looking at the chart in the middle, the utilization, well, you see it's pretty stable. It's at 90% in the first half, slightly below prior year level. It is linked, of course, to the next one on the right side. The attrition is at 20%, as we had expected. And as we're always saying, the market average globally is defined at roughly 22-23%. So we're okay-ish, but still it is a high number, especially high compared to 12 months ago when the numbers were still COVID impacted low at 14%. So the higher attrition also leads to some pressure on utilization because you always have to onboard new people you need for replacement. And this costs a bit of utilization. Last bullet point, external contractors at the end of June stood at 1,357, also up roughly 30% compared to last. not reflected in the charts on the top. And this brings me to my last slide, the outlook of 2022. We see strong increased EBT margin. The revenue with the new guidance will be up 29%. The EBITDA adjusted will be up 25% to 81 million euros. Sorry, I didn't mention the revenue at 730 million euros. EBITDA adjusted and EBITDA 81 million euros, and the EBT 60 million euros. All the trends we were talking about in the last quarter are still intact. We do see digitization working nicely. However, our increase is mainly linked to the ongoing FX tailwind we're seeing in the euro, and therefore on the revenue side and on the profitability side. That's the main driver of the increase today. I think it's the first time I'm able to show an increase in guidance because the euro is weakening. Over the years, it usually was more not in our favor, so this has changed a bit. What do we make of this? Maybe kind of a summary. For H2 2022, the growth forecast is somewhat lower than the growth we have seen in the first half year. This is mainly due to the quite strong second half of 2021, harder to beat than the first half. What will the future bring? We have seen some clients, especially in the investment banking industry, cut some IT budgets off the top already, simply because markets are discussing a recession. At the same time, we see major banks starting big core banking platform redesign projects, and so far, no slowdown. Insurance companies going through a overhaul of their core insurance landscape are less sensitive to short-term GDP changes anyway, so no adaptation in spending on that end as of now. What do we make of this? The fundamental technological trends in the industry, industries we serve are intact and offer ongoing growth potential, especially in markets regionally more distant to the Ukraine conflict. We see ongoing positive business sentiment still today. What we see globally is that everybody is discussing recession, but so far, no relevant harm to our order book. Nevertheless, it is too early to call for 2023. We will see how the pipeline evolves over summer holiday and in the fourth quarter. Sorry, after summer holiday, of course, and then in the fourth quarter. Only then will we be able to indicate what growth rates we expect for the next business year. That said, I'm done with the presentation and happy to take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Please note, questions can only be asked via telephone and not via webcast. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. The first question is from Andreas Wolf of Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's Andreas Wolf, Warburg Research. Congratulations on the quarter. A couple of questions from my side. The first one would be on the positive mentionings by the influencers I see in Quadrant. Does this have implications for the business, i.e., does it increase your awareness among customers? The second is related to Great Place to Work. Obviously, other service companies, IT service companies are also proud to have similar certificates. Is this also helpful in recruiting employees, and how does it help you to improve the overall work environment for your employees? Then maybe also related to employees as obviously IT skills remain a bottleneck. You obviously have achieved stronger growth than in the past than historically. What has changed in the recruiting process is obviously you are now able to handle a significantly higher demand growth than in the past. Question number three, it's related to the growing rising interest rates. So obviously that is having a negative impact on investment banking as there is less IPOs, etc. Maybe you could also comment on your revenue share in investment banking versus consumer banking, which might actually benefit from higher interest rates. So that would be interesting. And then my last question, question number four, is on purchase services. If I look at the sequential development, they have declined slightly. So is this basically because you've been able to replace contractors by own employees, or is it a reflection of the employee number development in Poland? Thank you.
Good morning. Yes, thank you very much for the questions. Influencers, or these rating agencies we've been referring to, and as I said, we have changed GFT over the years from a very client-focused company, and we had the very big top two clients, into a more technological-oriented company. And now going to the rating agencies is just another logical step on that journey of being a true tech company. And the implications, well, it's too early to call for the numbers because these two are just out a couple of days and the other one, ISG, a couple of weeks. But they should create awareness, exactly. Share the news where we are. And as these ratings are read, and clients are looking at them, these quadrants matter. We believe it will simply increase our awareness and show the capacities of GFT to potential clients who have not looked at us before, or who might feel they are the right partner to go for if we are recommended, for example, by one of the big cloud providers. So it should be in our favor, and we will continue working on that. Great Place to Work, well, you're of course right. If everybody does Great Place to Work, it's no longer a differentiator. First of all, for us, it had two meanings. We wanted to do, like we have done in the past, an employee survey and improve our working environment for our people. That was the main goal. And the second is the marketing part, that we can go to the market and say we are a certified Great Place to Work company. But we're now looking, of course, at the results. And as we have done internal surveys before, but we've done them internally, we are now just using a provider called Great Place to Work, who's seen by the public a lot these days and gets a lot of attention. So it will be both, right? We get the results, we will work on it and improve. That's country by country, very country specific. And at the same time, it will help us recruiting. Because as you said, with the next question, people are the bottleneck. And what has changed in recruiting? Well, to be honest, not much. Our recruiting efforts are similar to what we have done before. It's simply more today. In countries with nearshore focus, it is usually we get people, especially the younger people from university. In countries, especially in the UK, in Germany, in the US, that are more mature, we don't fish so much for the juniors, more people with some experience, and this has fundamentally not changed. Again, it is just a bigger number in recruiting today than it was 3-4 years ago. Interest rates, less IPOs, investment banks under pressure, yes, at least they are the ones who always react fastest. We have a couple of banks who are a mixed bag. Take Deutsche Bank, for example. They are an investment bank and a retail bank, and we have more of those. So it's not that easy to answer how about the share of investment banking. Let's say it's roughly 20 to 25%. It used to be a lot more in the past, but the growth was very broad. In Brazil, for example, not many investment banks in our portfolio, one or two, and including the local stock exchange, which you could put in every basket you want to. And therefore, the share is not outstanding, 20 to 25% of the total GFT business. And last but not least, purchase services. Well, yes, they have reduced somewhat versus Q1 because we've been more successful with our own hires. I think this is just an amplitude that will always go up and down, right? There will be a bit more own hires. Sometimes we will tap into the freelancer market a bit more. This is going back and forth and always a bit hard to predict. In Q1, you're right, we were pretty high on freelancer growth, and now it's a bit back to normal. And we will see this trend continue. In Poland, there continues to be a trend towards freelancers, but it has not sped up. So it's the same speed as we had in the previous quarter. And therefore, Poland is more flattish when it comes to share of freelancers. So we were able to reduce it in the group a bit. I hope I answered all questions.
Great. Thank you.
Welcome. More questions.
The next question is from Sven Sauer with Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Hello, Dr. Rütz. Hi. I have four questions. Maybe we can take them one by one. The first one, I'm not sure if I understand it correctly, but you mentioned you're targeting 1 billion in sales and 10% EBT margin. Is this a medium-term target that you have? And if yes, do you have maybe a possible time frame for this?
As always, right? You give the little finger and you grab the arm. Well, that's our vision. It's a vision. It has no link to a date. It's simply the stepping stones we want to achieve, right? And 10K people, of course, was the first. It was a prerequisite for 1 billion revenues, which will, depending on 23, take a bit of time. And the 10% EBT is a long-term goal, right? We always talk about we want to continuously improve the EBT at the 15% growth rate. We can improve it by half a percentage point per year. That's what we face. And then the 10% would come one day. But there is no formal guidance for these three.
Okay, yeah, great, thanks. The second question is that you mentioned that you're doing a lot of investments in business development. And I was wondering if you could maybe explain what specifically these are, more investments for recruiting or training. Maybe a bit more color on that.
Yeah, it is a lot of it is training, and sometimes, therefore, it is linked to recruiting, but mostly training. The new technologies we see upcoming. I think I talked in the last quarterly call about the technology Thought Machine. It is a core banking software product from a UK startup, which we're using a lot in our Asian digital banks, and which is now getting more traction also in the European and American banks. And investing into business development here today means, well, winning some of the projects and then getting your people trained. That's the biggest effort. Sometimes we build solutions like Bank Light, which is an extra effort. And then it should help us do the next digital banking projects faster or cheaper. So these are the kind of investments we're doing. They're always around the technologies that will drive the future of our clients.
Perfect. The third question is regarding Forex. So obviously, as you mentioned, there was a benefit in the first half. I mean, at one point, this could go in a different direction in the future. Have you ever thought about hedging in currency hedging?
Yes, and we're doing currency hedging wherever there is a true business relationship that involves FX. For example, we deliver from Poland into the UK, which means there's a true link to FX because we sell on a pound basis in the UK, and the guys in the UK need some safety about what they will have to pay to our Polish subsidiary. And there we do hedge, right? But hedging comes with a cost. You can't hedge, how much was it? Roughly 250 or 500 million euros of P&L to hedge all FX effects. This is simply too costly. Therefore, the pure translation FX risks, we do not hedge because it would be a tremendous amount and a lot of cost behind, which would easily eat any advantage we could gain. Therefore, yes, for true business reasons, no, for simple recalculation into euro effects.
Okay, very clear. And the last question is also regarding FX. So in the presentation, you mentioned that around 2 million of EBT is from FX. And I was wondering if you could maybe give a split of how much the EBT increase comes from active price management and how much from the economies of scale.
You mean the one that remains, right? If you take out the 12 percentage points that come from EBT FX tailwind, which would leave us with 63%, right, true increase in margin. Well, part of it, of course, is size, is economies of scale. I think on the pricing side, we're doing well, compensating all the salary increases we are handing out to our people, which are extensive in 2022, and the salary increases we're buying into when we hire new people, right? They always come at the new cost, the new salary already. So we are compensating for that with price effects. And I doubt we have a strong gain out of that. It's probably pretty even in 22 because the cost increase is so strong. However, the efficiencies come below our sales efficiencies, our administration efficiencies, all the costs in the back end. They are driving the improvement mostly. So not so much from the GM1, right? So the gross margin, most is coming from the cost behind. I think in 23, 24, we will have the opportunity to again discuss increasing the gross margin when the salary increase is not so outrageously high. And the year is not really in the benefit of companies raising prices. You had to do it in the first two quarters. Now, everybody, every client comes back to you and says, well, there's a recession coming. Hard to discuss prices. So it's a bit tough while you already have included the price increases for your salaries to now discuss it with clients in the second half. It's working, right? Again, as I said, we're probably a bit positive on that, but it's not the big part of the EBT improvement.
Great. Very helpful. Thank you.
Well, a pleasure. Next questions, please.
The next question is from Knud Hinkel of Pareto Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Dr. Lutz. Good morning, everyone on the call. Thank you for having my questions. I've got a couple, and you decide whether you want the entire catalog or answer them one by one. First of all, you mentioned that you shifted the hardware internal use to the cloud. I would be interested to hear whether this is rented or if you got your build up your own data centers or how are you organizing that? That would be my first question. Second question, the chip crisis. Some IT service providers, they complain a bit that projects are postponed because there are not the chips available that they need. So I would like to hear your assessment of that topic. Thirdly, you mentioned top two customers, 13% of revenues. When I got the math right, that means that we have seen a slight increase of revenues year over year. Does that mean that we should expect at least a stable result over the entire year? So that would be my third question. Then fourth question, M&A pipeline. You haven't done a deal for some time now. Prices have come down a little bit, I would say. Yesterday, there was a big deal announced by one of your, not direct competitors, but IT service companies. So there are deals out there, obviously not too expensive. So I would like to hear an update maybe on that. What are your plans and what's your pipeline here? And then last words, just housekeeping items. I would be interested to hear your restructuring guidance for the full year. How much do you think you will spend on that, or and will be incurred for that? I think utilization will be around zero again, and also the tax rate for the full year. So every first half of the year we've seen 29%. I think you guided at 28% for the full year. Is that still valid? I hope that was not too much, and we are still on time.
So let's take them one by one. Hardware to the cloud. Our data centers so far, well, they were only used for GFT internally, so we don't host data for our clients. Therefore, it was a small or mid-sized data center in Germany and a backup in Spain, which we are constantly reducing. So we're moving all the applications GFT internally is using into the cloud, and we hope that somewhere in Q1, Q2 of 2023, we will be fully in the cloud, and we can kind of switch off our data centers, kind of, right? There's always something left, but the big part with the diesel generator in the back to support whatever downtime we might have, we will be able to replace. So this will go to zero, which would also reduce, we believe, cybersecurity risks, which are stronger in on-premise data centers than in cloud space. The chip crisis. Talking to all our MDs and salespeople, I can't remember anybody saying we've lost a deal because of the chip crisis. So no, it doesn't really impact us. I remember that the last chip crisis impacted us on the hardware side because the laptops we had a harder time getting laptops, but this is not a problem this time. And therefore, From my perspective, we don't have any issues with the current chip crisis. Question number three, top two clients, or let's directly say Deutsche Bank, 13% of the revenue in the first half year. And you're right, that's slightly up versus last year. And yes, we believe throughout the year 2022, we might see a slight positive, but for sure, at least the same revenue in Deutsche as we have seen in 2020. We continue to believe there will be a bit of a decline in the next year because there's still one market, Spain, where we will be replaced by internal resources of that client from India. But this is taking longer than expected. Therefore, we're staying on the high level quite a while. But this is just a risk of 5 to 7 euros. But in the overall scope of GFT today, this is really minor. M&A pipeline. Yeah, we're working on it. Absolutely. Yes. We have been looking at companies in countries and we continue to do. There's not a deal that I will be able to push over the ramp in the coming days. So no news to be expected, please. Hopefully we can see something work out in the second half of 22. You're right. The prices are coming down, but this takes a bit, right, to ripple through to the small and medium sized companies we're looking at. At the same time, we're growing very strongly organically. So we have to think about M&A and the market we do that M&A in very cautiously because it will always distract local management from the growing own business, from the organic growth they should focus on. So that's why we're a bit cautious in some countries. In some countries, we're very optimistic that we could integrate M&A, but we don't have a target at the moment. It will change, as always. Things take long, and then you have too many. Currently, we're waiting to find the right target, and believe me, we will find one. Maybe not 22, maybe it will be 23, but we continue combining organic growth and inorganic growth. However, the second part has to come back one. And last but not least, the restructure costs. So far, it was 1.4 million for the year, right? This is getting a bit bigger. But we're getting bigger as a company as well. So this is a number we always had. Little percentage point of revenues goes into restructure because you always have some changes. Therefore, I would expect roughly double the number, 2.5 million, maybe even 2.8 million for the full year as restructure costs, which is just kind of a base number we will need. I hope that answered all your questions.
The utilization costs that you will incur is probably around zero, I guess.
Utilization, yeah. There will be no impact. We will go through the year with a high utilization of somewhere between 90% and 91%. We're always giving a rounded number here, and that should be supportive of the good margins we see.
And the tax rate for the full year, that would be
my yes, 28% to 29%. We said 28, right? We stand at 29 today. And it will probably be 28, between 28 and up to 30%. Maybe the middle 29 will be accurate. It's always a bit hard to guide because there's a lot of non-direct effects coming from IFRS.
I see. Thanks a lot.
Was a pleasure. Do we have more questions?
The next question is from Lukas Spang of Tigris Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Rutz. Two questions. The first question is related to 2023. I fully understand that you are not guiding any quantitative numbers for next year's now, but maybe we can take this topic more on a qualitative side. What can you see or what can you say right now for 2023 on a qualitative side, maybe also on a regional split?
Okay. On the quality side, I think I kind of tried to say it, right? The technology trends that we are benefiting from in 21, especially in 22, they are ongoing. We don't see any of those ending. And we do see big banks going into those rehauls of their core banking. While they go into the cloud, they want to make their core banking systems more fitting the cloud. And therefore, they are thinking of standardized products they want to put in as well, like Thought Machine I was mentioning. There's another one which doesn't fit the big banks that well, which is Mambu from Germany. So two startup core banking platforms. So we do see those trends are intact. We don't see them change at all. And usually these investments, they even in a recession, which might hit banks somewhat, but which are not like 2007 or 2008, they continue. There's no reason to really change your major strategic overhaul of your core system. Same is true for insurance companies. Nevertheless, there's always a risk that clients take some of the budgets they planned for the year, just cut it off the top, right? If there's a recession, we cut something off the top. That's the way investment banks think very easily, and retail banks take more of a crisis to do exactly the same. And therefore, quality-wise, we believe the trends are intact. It's only about what banks are willing to spend, which will in the end drive the total revenue of GFT. If you would have asked me on 23 before the crisis in the Ukraine and then all the inflation and interest rate hikes started, we would have been quite optimistic for the year 2023 because exactly those trends are intact. Or knowing from February to 23 is a long period, this quality side of your question is still true. Regional split, as I said, the further away from the Ukraine conflict, the more optimism in business we still see. Everybody has the recession piece. Everybody has the increase in interest rates part. But this risk part, this energy crisis part is very European, maybe even in some aspects very German. And it's not reflected. You shouldn't think it is reflected in the other countries as well. So Brazil, Canada, U.S., They think in the interest rates, but not in the Ukraine war that much. And therefore, I think our global footprint gives us a good way into 23 to compensate part of the risk which might appear because especially of the gas topic in Europe, in Germany, and the recession part, which we might see in some countries stronger, in others less. I think our distribution will support us getting through that year, whatever it exactly brings, in an adequate way. Better than 2007, 2008, which was a crisis truly of the financial service industry. And now we're looking at a recession for the economy overall. There's always impact on banks and insurance companies, but not the same way as we've seen in 2008. And in 2008, we were flat in revenues, just to repeat. So it was the first, the worst crisis I've experienced in this industry. And I'm doing this now for nearly 20 years. We were flat. So in an environment that 2023 shows, we should be able to grow in some of our markets, while in some markets like Germany, we might see no growth. That is possible, right? But too early to call. We'll work on the pipeline of the second half now and the rest of the year, and hopefully somewhere on end of the year, probably it will be early next year, we can give guidance for 23.
Yeah.
And your second question?
The second question would be on the 1 billion revenue market. So would you see any operating changes, for example, to get projects you didn't get in the past or customers you didn't get in the past, or would it just a nice revenue mark but nothing would change?
Well, I think we are, as a market share, GFT has today in its markets, we still have a lot of opportunities in most of that global market we looked at when we look at the cake and the revenue distribution. So we have markets and industries we can grow with to 1 billion euros. We don't need to change anything. I don't say we won't, right? We might add markets. We've just added a hiring market, which is not a selling market, a hiring market, which is Romania, to tap into that pool of experts too, besides Poland and Eastern Europe. So we will continue looking into other markets, but there is no need to do major expansion regionally to get to the 1 billion mark. It will be simply more of the same with more clients, right? We will put more logos to our list, more client names, and we will expand business in existing clients who are still in the smaller category of that slide number 8 we have been looking at, which will still be below 5 or 1 million euros. So that's the markets we want to address and we want to grow with. And it will be more or less the same markets you see today that will really drive us to that 1 billion. We might add new ones, but they might not contribute that much in short time.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Do we have more questions?
The last question is from Wolfgang Specht of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Luckily, most of the questions have already been answered. Two ones are missing from my side. First, on the workforce attrition, now at 20%, is this, let's say, a peak level you see for the remainder of the year? Then second question would be on the FX tailwind we've seen in H1 and you also expect for H2. Is this, let's say, purely the explanation for the guidance upgrade, or are there some, let's say, organic upsides as well? And the third one is government grants you mentioned. Is this the COVID-related or something else?
All right. Attrition? Well, we believe the 20% will be quite stable for the year. We don't. We know that in some markets, like the U.S., tech companies have started hiring less or even laying off some people. But for this to ripple through the whole IT business and go to the markets where we are strongest in people will take a bit of time. And therefore, we don't think the 20% average for the year will come down significantly. Maybe, right, we will drop below the 20, but we don't see that trend happening yet. On the FX side, for this guidance increase, it was mostly FX, right? We do see good positive momentum on all areas, but that we were able to increase again is mostly linked to the FX impacts. Well, to be honest, the question is this the new FX of tomorrow, right? And then it should be sustainable over time, or will the euro strengthen again? That's your guess just as much as it is mine. And last but not least, government grants. No, they were not linked to COVID. We didn't use any grants linked to COVID, to be honest. These are the classic grants we see. And when you grow by 37%, the volume you can go for grants for simply grows as well. And this is what is happening. So in markets like UK, Spain, Poland, Italy, where we are going for grants, it is just the higher volume that is helping us get more of those.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Excuse me, we have a last one is a follow-up from Sven Sauer of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. One quick follow-up question. You at the full year results, you provided a split between digital transformation projects, smart technology projects, and platform services. And I understand that you only provide figures for the full year, but I was wondering if, due to the discussion about recession, if you're seeing a change in the share from clients in these three businesses.
Yeah, good question. Yes, we're only doing this once a year, and it usually doesn't fundamentally change throughout the year, especially if things go, as I'm reporting constantly, as planned. And therefore, no, there's no change to this distribution. This is the optimism and one of the proof points why we believe technology-wise, all trends are intact. This was the quality side, right, of the question on 2023. And this is also represented by this KPI, the digital projects and the maintenance projects, they're pretty stable and the rest in between is growing very strongly. But also we push some projects we deliver into maintenance. That's why the maintenance piece also always gets a bit of growth. And it goes across the board. There's no big change there and those trends are intact. Therefore, no, stable versus what we reported for the full year 21 numbers.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. There are no more further questions. At this time, I hand back to Jochen Ruth for closing comments.
Yeah, probably everybody has something on his agenda at 11 o'clock. So thank you very much for joining today. Whoever has holiday in front of himself, enjoy it, please. And let's talk again at one of the conferences coming up in Q3 or latest in the November Q3 numbers. Thanks and bye-bye.